Jonah chapter 2, Jonah 2 this morning. I guess one of the blessings of being a pastor is knowing that even if you don't feel like it, and we don't always feel spiritual, I think I'm safe in saying that. We don't always feel like praying. We don't always feel like studying the Word of God. But I guess if you have to preach two or three times a week, you have to study the Word of God. But the thing of it is, it sounds negative up to this point. But even those times when you don't feel like it, once you do start studying the Word of God, then the want to comes back to you, you know, immediately. And it's been such a blessing for me meditating on the portion of Scripture that I'm about to share with you today. God's really spoken to my heart at a time when I needed it. And I hope to be some encouragement to you today as well. Are you ready to look at the Word of God then together? Before we start, Brother David Ellinghausen, I'm going to ask if you would just stand and ask God's blessing on what is to come this morning, brother. Amen. Thank you, Brother David. And while I'm thinking about it, too, for those of you that are interested, tonight and probably for the next 2 to 3 Sunday nights, I'll be breaking from Colossians and just be sharing with the people of God how to study the Bible topically. So I hope that'll prove to be very practical to you. And as we go through this, I'll be giving you some handouts on that, only one sheet tonight, but hopefully once we go through the process, I'll hand out a handout showing what the finished product looks like. All right, so that's tonight. You'll recall from the book of Jonah, you've got the rebellion of Jonah in chapter 1, the repentance of Jonah in chapter 2, then revival in chapter 3, and regression in chapter 4. Jonah does good for a while, then he begins to slide back in chapter 4. We'll get to that. But we're in chapter 2 right now, where we witness the repentance of Jonah. And in verses 1 and 2, we see where Jonah pleads to God for help. And we covered verse 1 last week, and that's about all we covered. We come to verse 2 now. And it says in the Word of God that Jonah says, "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice." Jonah utters words that are reminiscent of the psalmist. You see several times in the book of Psalms. So, well, let me give you Psalm 4, verse 1, for instance. It says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." Psalm 18:6, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears." Psalm 118, verse 5, it says, "I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Psalm 120, verse 1. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. You just see that theme over and over again. It's interesting, and then we'll move on, but I came across this quote from Charles Spurgeon that really caught my attention. Listen to what he says. He says, most of the grand truths of God have to be learned by trouble. They must be burned into us with a hot iron of affliction. Otherwise, we shall not truly receive them. And I think that's one of the lessons to be learned here today. And we should not be discouraged by the trials of life. It's in those trials and deep waters that we learn life's greatest lessons. And those are the things that if they don't break us, they'll make us stronger. And they purify our faith. Well, anyway, verse 2 gives us the reason for Jonah's renewed interest in prayer. The text says he prayed by reason of his affliction. As stated above, when Jonah was thrown overboard, the churning sea immediately pulled the prophet underwater. He was struggling to survive, but survival in a stormy, turbulent sea was next to impossible. Within minutes, Jonah would have drowned if the Lord had not saved him. And once he was within the smelly, dark, or black darkness of the fish's stomach, however, there was no way that Jonah could tell where he was. I'm sure he was very disoriented. And his prayer indicates that he was in the depth of Hades, which Jonah describes here as the belly of hell. It doesn't get much worse than that. There's something that you should know. The word hell in the Old Testament is the English translation for the Hebrew word Sheol. Sheol was a well-known place in the thinking of the Old Testament Jews. And though it is translated as hell, it doesn't always mean the place of condemnation. Depending on the context in the Old Testament, Sheol sometimes refers to the place of the departed dead or merely the grave and no more than that. But whatever Jonah's understanding was of this place of darkness and confinement, he desperately desired deliverance. I mean, when you think of death, you think of separation, and Jonah was separated in his mind from all hope and from the people of God and people in general. You know, as I study this, there's some things that come to mind. Certainly, prayer to God that is energized by a love for God is always the best reason for seeking the Lord. And certainly, prayer to God that is motivated by an unquenchable desire to fellowship with Him is the type of prayer that is most pleasing to Him. But the prayer of desperation is also a source of great delight to our Heavenly Father. And why is that? It is because in those times of trouble, we become most conscious of our dependency upon Him. And that's important, that He knows that we know. And sometimes the troubles, the trials, the storms of life come into our lives for no other reason than just to remind us of how dependent we are on God. We may wonder, if we're not willing to pray to God when times are good, then will God listen to us when times are bad? And the only thing I can say to that is that He listened to Jonah. And if He'll listen to Jonah, He'll listen to us. And what was it that Jehovah did for Jonah? He heard his prayer. Here's a prophet that's backslidden, who was trying to run away from God. God hadn't heard from Jonah probably in some time by now. And yet, the first time Jonah prays to God, God hears. After a long time. And I think Jonah really wants to impress that point upon your heart today. Because you'll notice, if you didn't hear Jonah the first time, then hopefully you'll hear him the second time. Look at verse 2 again. He said, and I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. As shocking as that is, as undeserved as that is, Jonah said he heard me anyway. And again, if Jonah were to paraphrase here, you know, I'm just adding this, but Jonah could well tell us, if you didn't hear me the first time, let me say it again. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and he heard me. Thou heardest me. I don't know, are you getting encouraged at all by this by now? Because it certainly did a world of good for me. Jonah's being very emphatic here. But emphatic about what exactly? Simply this. If your need is great and you need a breakthrough, then the prayer of desperation is absolutely, without a doubt, sure to get God's attention. I hope you take that with you today when you leave. And I say to the people of God, take that. Just take that, yeah, will you? You don't mind taking that, do you? It's good to know how good our God is that we serve. Then we come to verse 3. We learn something else about Jonah. He accepted God's discipline. It says, therefore, thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Now I want to ask you a question. I want to make sure I keep you engaged mentally and spiritually. Jonah says something in this verse which at first glance seems very peculiar. Do you know what it is? Do you know what I'm thinking? Do you know what I'm referring to here? If you have an answer, feel free to raise your hand. What is peculiar about the wording here? When you say who are you speaking of? God. Yeah, that's who he's talking to. Yeah, that's it exactly. Thank you, Brother Daniel. I mean, it was Jonah who said, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. And then you come to Jonah 1:15 and it says, that they, the soldiers, that the sailors, that is, took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. So why does Jonah say of God in this verse, for thou hast cast me into the deep? Well, let me tell you, life is full of instances in which the sovereign will of God absolutely takes over a situation. And I know the soldier, I keep wanting to say soldiers. The sailors cast Jonah overboard, but they first tried to row the boat to land to save Jonah. And God wouldn't let them do that. And the sailors finally cast Jonah overboard because they didn't have any choice in the matter if they wanted to get out of the storm alive. So it was the sovereign will of God that forced the issue here. I tell you what, if you're on the wrong end of God's sovereignty, it can be a pretty scary situation. But if you're determined to glorify God with your life, then the sovereignty of God should be your source of greatest comfort. And I know when you look at the current events going on around the world today, it seems that the storm clouds are everywhere, saints of God. I mean, I know it seems that any time that, say, China or North Korea or Iran or Russia could choose to go to war with the United States. And then there are all those questions about the coronavirus. How devastating will it end up being? You got that going on. And you've probably heard in the news already, but did you know that many of the minerals that the pharmaceutical companies need to make your medications come from China? And what if China decided to withhold those minerals from the United States. And if that wasn't enough, what about the slow advances that socialism is making in Washington, D.C.? And what about the recent locust herds that are stripping millions of acres of vegetation in places like China, Iran, Ethiopia, Somalia, and Kenya? That's going on today. It almost seems like we're being revisited by the plagues of Egypt. I don't know what's going on. Maybe we are drawing close to the end times. But I can tell you this, the closer we do get to the end times, the men's hearts will begin failing them for fear, so the scripture says. And the reason why is because they do not have the strong arm of the Lord, and you and I do. And that makes a difference. I thank God for the sovereignty of God. And yes, I know that the world is in chaos today, ladies and gentlemen, but there is nothing chaotic about the sovereignty of God, and He is still in control today. And furthermore, even though the storms may rage, the Almighty is still determined to bring you, the saints of God, to a blessed end. And I think that's what we need to see in the Scripture today. And so, when you come to verses 4 through 7, you learn something else about Jonah. As bad as he was, as miserable and unfaithful and disloyal as a prophet as he was, he still, at least now, once again, trusted in God's promises. You may not see that immediately, but I'll explain to you as we go. You see that in verses 4 through 7. Look at verse 4. Jonah says, I am cast, he said, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Well, that sounds pretty despairing to me. Is despairing a word? Anyway, you know, that sounds pretty depressing to me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. And yet, a split second later, he says, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Well, there's a note of optimism there, don't you think? Why would he say that? You know, Jonah was going in one direction only, and that direction was down. He went down to Joppa. He went down to the sides of the ship. Now he was going down to the bottoms of the mountains. You'll see that in verse 6. And at some point, when the great fish met him, he went down into the fish's belly, and when you turn your back on God, the only direction you can go is down. And that's what Jonah did. What was it then that saved Jonah? What was that? Exactly right. Faith in what? I'll tell you what. Yes, faith in God, and let me put it, phrase it this way. It was faith in God's promises. I want to show you that now, because this is very important for us today. Notice Jonah's emphasis on the temple. In verse 4, he says, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. But did you notice verse 7? Because he says it again. And see, that's what really got my attention. I might read something one time, and it doesn't make much of an impression on me, but if I see it twice, within a short span of verses, I sit up and take notice, because there's something significant, really significant, about looking again toward the holy temple. I want to find out what that is. And so I did. But he says in verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. You have to go back roughly about 220 years previous to Jonah's time here, when King Solomon dedicated the temple in Jerusalem. And at that time, you see it in 1 Chronicles, but also in 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 38 to 40, Solomon asked a favor of God. Let me read to you that in 1 Kings chapter 8, beginning at verse 38. What prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house,
Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. And what was God's response to that prayer? You know it well. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning at verse 12, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and he said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for in a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. That's what Jonah was referring to, I truly believe. And Jonah claimed that promise that God gave to Solomon. By faith, he looked towards God's temple as best he could and asked God to deliver him. And God kept his promise and answered his call. And when Jonah in Jonah chapter 2 verse 7 says, I remembered the Lord, he means I acted on the basis of his commitment to me. Jonah knew God's covenant promises and he claimed them. And that's the point. And we need to do the same as God's people. I want to ask you a question. And I don't want you to be so quick to answer with the expected answer, but rather take a deep survey of your soul. And here's the question. Do you really believe all the promises of God all the time? I don't mean to sound negative, ladies and gentlemen, but understanding the human frame like I do, being a human, you may agree or disagree with that, but nevertheless, understanding the human frame like I do, I would have to say the answer is no. I do not believe by and large that the people of God believe all the promises of God all the time. Does that sound cruel? I don't mean for it to be. Let me elaborate a little bit, if I may. Let me just say, when we get to that point where we don't believe, the answer came forth a little bit ago, you know, what made the difference for Jonah? Faith in God. And we're just saying faith in God's promises here now. But when you begin to lose just a little bit of that faith, there is a sense of insecurity that begins to fester within us. And sometimes we begin to feel all out of sorts. We go to the mirror and start preaching to ourselves. Maybe you're not as loony as I am, but I've been known to do this. I'll say something like this. What's wrong with you? This is not like you. Rick, what is your problem? Am I the only person that ever does that? I preach every week, so sometimes I have to go and preach in the mirror. It's just part of my fabric, I guess. And you say that again. We thank you for those deep insights, Daniel, to the Word of God today. Thank you so much, brother. But anyway, we get frustrated with ourselves. We get out of sorts. The thing of it is, I don't know. I think you're probably like me. Are there ever times in your lives when you get out of sorts and don't even know why? Is it just me? That's comforting to know to a certain degree there, then. It happens to me.
I wake up on the wrong side of the bed. I don't even know why. I didn't think I was the only person. I mean, y'all just like me. Unfortunately, I wouldn't wish me on anybody, but nevertheless, I mean, you've got the same human nature. And you know when that happens, though, we get out of sorts. Let me offer you a possible, yea, probable answer. You're losing your grip and focus on the promises of God. That's why. Now, I know we have some wealthy Baptists here who may live on a golf course, Ernest, but for the rest of you, have you worried about your finances at any time in the last few months? I'm probably going to pay for that little note of humor I just offered. Meant with goodwill. No need to send in the Marines, Ernest. Thank you. But have you been concerned about your finances for the last few months or at any time in the last few months? Because this is what I'm saying. And y'all know I'm not just preaching at you, right? I've been through all this. I don't have to tell you that. You know I have. I wish I could say that I'm better than you, but it wouldn't do any good. Y'all know better than that, too. But I think we're all aware of Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. We like the book of Philippians. We read it quite often. It says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And if you are aware of Philippians 4:19, then why did you worry? That's my question. You know why? Because you didn't believe all the promises of God all the time. And see, that's more than of a problem that we care to confess sometimes. If you could feel free to tell me if I'm wrong. I think I'm right when I say this, but if we had a perfect faith in God's promises, we would never worry about anything ever again. So, folks, I think that's our problem. We don't believe all the promises of God all the time, but the encouraging thing is this. You know, once you've identified your problem, you can do something about it if you really want to. And if your faith is beginning to slide south, then get in the Word of God more. And because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Get in the book of Psalms. Go elsewhere in the Word of God. Meditate on the person of God. And reassure your soul that God is still alive and that He's still faithful, still loyal, that He's still a covenant-keeping, promise-keeping God. Sometimes I have to yell at myself just like that. I try not to do it if anybody's looking. I try to do it when I'm alone. I don't want them to think I've lost it. You ever see people, I'm getting off on tangent. I get tickled at people. So you ever see people in a car listening to loud rock music? Man, they're going through convulsions. I mean, if they just knew how hilarious it looked. I'm wanting to call 911. I'm thinking, man, they're having a seizure or something, but they're just bopping, man. They're bopping. Well, when I start yelling and waving hands, I'm not going to do it in the car when I'm driving, you know, and people around me. I try to do it in private. But I think Jonah had his problems, but praise God, Jonah knew the solution. And do we? You know what Jonah's solution was? It's found in verse 7. He said, I remembered the Lord. I don't know. I think that phrase is probably more profound than we have any idea of this morning. I think it should so impact us that in a good spiritual way, it absolutely devastates us. The next time you're out of sorts, take the time to remember the Lord. Verse 5, he says, by the way, in case you're wondering, I'm almost done. But in verse 5, he says, the waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Jonah went down as low as he could go. He went down, to use the language of the verses here, literally he went down to the very roots or the foundation stones of the mountains. He had approached the very gates of Sheol or the underworld itself, reserved for the departed dead. And humanly speaking, escape was impossible. When life and hope was almost exhausted just in the nick of time, even while staring death squarely in the face, Jonah started making his comeback because he remembered the Lord. Remembered the Lord? What do you mean? He remembered all those days in days past when God delivered him from other dire situations. And with the remembrance of the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, there is the return of faith. Are any of you discouraged this morning over anything? Just generally discouraged? Have you so quickly forgotten what God has done for you in the past? Are you living in despair? Is the flicker of faith within your heart about to go out? If so, then remember the Lord. If you do, then the flicker of faith will once again become a flame, and with the return of faith will come the return of prayer, and with the return of prayer will come the return of wholeness, peace, contentment, and deliverance. And that's what Jonah teaches me. I hope you've been impressed the same way today, ladies and gentlemen. I think you can do as you will, but when the invitation is given, it may be a time for us to just remember the Lord. You're discouraged today. You're out of sorts today. Maybe we have forgotten what God has delivered us from in the past, and there needs to be an overwhelming outpouring of gratitude and thanksgiving to God today for all that He's done for us. If you feel so motivated, you can meet with God at the altar of prayer during the invitation. But if we've lost faith in God and in the promises of God, there needs to be a time of repentance as well. And I call upon us, the people of God, to repent where repentance is needed today. Our God is much better than we sometimes give Him credit for. And it's time right now that we stopped everything that we were doing and forget everything we were thinking about and just think about one thing, remembering the Lord. Dear Father, bless the close of this service.